Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Kit Felci Rot, is it a Biha? 1,000 welcomes to the Village Oak Tree for May 8, 2024. I'm Terrence O'Donnell, your host, and I'm returning again to your village with another interview that I've been teasing you about for the last 2 weeks. So I have on today's show a young man from the West Coast who has written a book called The Final Bible Study. And he gives his name as AMS Esquire. So this is a copy of his book if you want to go find it on Amazon. And you can see it here a little bit. Here, I get a better picture. There we go. Got my fingers in the way. All right. Looks good. So you got to get an idea what he's going to do. And I'm sure he's going to show up and give you a picture of his copy as well. So without further ado, let's bring him back. Let's bring him on board. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Shalom alaikum. Peace be upon you and on all people in humanity. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here, sir.
So, first out of the bat, I would say introduce yourself to everybody. Give us an idea of your background. You can use from your book if you want, or however you want. Like I said, I'm going to let you fly with this for the most part.
Yes, sir. So, my name's A.M. I go by AMS Esquire. Last name's Sayed. I'm second-generation American. My uncle Fazi was born in 1924, five-star general, U.S. Army. And so I identify with the United States. I studied Islam, Christianity, Judaism at Harvard, and I'm certified in Christianity, studied mathematical modeling, calculus, differential equations at Harvard. I'm certified in calculus, bachelor's from State College, work in the IT field. That's about it as far as introductions. Have a beautiful kid, black belt taekwondo. I eat food and I go to sleep at night. So
yeah, I'm almost there. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. So tell us about this book. I prepared some questions, but mostly I'm only going to interject them if I feel like it's a kind of a point of view type of thing. Mostly, like I said before, I kind of want you to tell us about the book. My biggest first question is, after you tell us about the book, I want to know why you wrote it.
Perfect. Yes, sir. So the book came about after 3 years of debate with a very bullheaded individual that I found out actually knew nothing about theology. And they presented themselves as an expert, and I was convinced in the beginning until we went deeper into the conversation, and they were basically just basing their entire theological position off insulting other people's faith practices. And I'm maternally, paternally, ethnically from Abraham, I'm very proud of that. And I believe that that gives no one any race, and these things give no one any advantage. We're all children of, we're all, whether Gaia or God or anything at all, we're all humanity. And there's people in my ethnicity that are good people, and there's people in my ethnicity that belong behind bars, if you ask me. And all of my theological teachers were from a different ethnicity than mine. We had a preliminary conversation with yourself. You actually know quite a bit, even maybe possibly more about this subject matter than I do. And so the reason for bringing about this book was because of a trend that's happening right now in the United States, and it's a threat to democracy. And that's not a political slogan. That's a warning. We have 6 months until the election, until November, and then everything solidified in January. I'm on the fence. I'm neither party. I've never been. I vote on issues. That's just my personal thing. I respect both candidates, blah, blah, blah. but the purpose of this book was to write against this specific threat to democracy. I think all religions at the core have some highest power, if not a monotheist, at least to some extent, whether it's the Logos energy, whether it's the Hindu Bhagwan, whether it's the Muslim Allah or the Judaic Elohim or the Christian Heavenly Father. And I believe that religion and a lot of faith practices and spiritual practices are forces for good. And I believe that's why people adopt them. Period. And everybody has their right to follow what their walk has led them to. And the purpose of this book was to answer that this source document that's being used by these organization members that are threatening Americans, that are killing Americans, that their source document is not the infallible word of God, that their entire, and they do not represent Christianity, they do not represent the Abrahamic faith. They are not the authorities. As you and I both know, growing up in the United States, that people are forced for good. Even Donald Trump, quote unquote, enjoys a great deal, a high degree of respect in society, quote unquote, if you know what I mean. And he belongs to a great organization. Islam is a peaceful religion. Christianity is a peaceful religion. Judaism is a peaceful religion. You can reference Rabbi Jacob Weiss. These are forces for good. These are social programs. These are programs that run food banks in the United States. And so these fringe elements have become very dangerous. And so the purpose of this book was that I pulled a few recent examples of they basically operate under the, if I may say it, the same functional characteristics as Al-Qaeda. They have a theological book that they misinterpret. They take the violent aspects. They allot themselves as better than others. They have a ringleader, right? And so they're violent. They kill Americans. I'm not going to go all the way back in the interest of time. You're the expert here.
I mean, think about it, you know, and we think about, if we look at, you know, these monotheistic religions going all the way back to ancient Babylon. Okay. So it's, and you even reference this in your book, to some degree, where the original Israelites, and they weren't even called Israelites back then, you know, came out of the Tigris River, Euphrates area, migrated out because Nebuchadnezzar was persecuting them on all that kind of stuff. Now that's historically documented. Okay. And so these Bedouins headed south, according to the archaeologists, and started, you know, doing their own thing. And they took the Babylonian god Baal, and they created this god of the Israelites out of it. And that's, again, it's all well documented, and everything just kind of went from there. Your parts of the Bible that debunk all this truth that they're laying on us is spot on, because majority of it is fables. They're mythological tales. I mean, my ancestors were famous for inventing heroic tales of mythical people. Some of them not so mythical. I mean, Finn McCool was not mythical, but all of his exploits are great stories told around the fires. Okay. Yes. And, you know, so every culture has that. All right. We all have our mythical heroes and our tales of and whatever. And, you know, the Israelites were no different. So why people would take these as, you know, what do you call it? Truth, I guess.
Well, the term that's used, and you can reference Joel Olstein's website under beliefs, his tab under beliefs, is quote unquote infallible word of God. And he has roughly 100,000 followers, and nobody challenges the claim, and it's totally false.
Yeah.
And this is objectively false. And what this book does, it's not a position. It's as objective as possible, that it puts verse numbers after every claim, open the Bible and fact check it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's annotated.
You can do the same thing with the Torah. I mean, the Old Testament of the Bible, you can do the same thing. Most of those stories probably started with a small thread of truth to it. You know, something similar happened to somebody.
Yes, sir.
And they made a story to tell by the fireside out of it.
I'll give you an example. Everything you're saying is spot on. I mean, so you have a Thor, son of Odin, who's the wife of Frigga, and this fanciful story of the Valkyries. Same thing in this Abrahamic tradition is that this is a heavily persecuted group. And in order to impress a Greek audience, they make these fanciful tales that don't mess with us, or the Maccabees, for example, the elephants will run in and God will send thunder. None of that happened. Right. Another thing is there is a lot of non-monotheistic worship. A lot of entities are worshipped other than God. There are two references to the Son of the Morning. One is for Lucifer and the other is for Jesus. So these types of things allow for wild interpretations. The references are in the book. One is in the book of Revelations and another one is in the letter of Paul. The verse numbers are right there for you. Mm-hmm. You also have that these monotheistic faiths, it's up to one to discern whether they are universal truths. Whether or not I ascribe to it or whatever. For example, you start at the beginning from Judaism, for example. It's not a universal truth. It's revealed for a people living in Judea, 9,000 square kilometers, in a specific language, for a specific ethnicity. The dietary laws are for a specific wildlife living in Egypt and Judea and the Levant. They don't reference toucans or ostriches. It is not a global religion. And it's wiped out. The laws are not applicable. And, you know, if somebody wants to hold on to that, that's fine. If somebody's going to use that as a source document to kill Americans, to say they're superior to others, that's where I'm going to step in and I'm going to say this is wrong. And so I have a number of recent events. I won't go back through history and talk about Oklahoma City and all this. Not at all. So we've got stuff from April and March. So the facts right here. We have obviously, as you know, Patriot Front shows up to a gay pride family parade, LGBTQ family parade.
Yeah.
With children. They show up, three of them, with grenades and firearms. They have no right to do this. People in the United States have every right to follow what their pursuit of happiness, their interpretation of the Constitution. And so they brought physical violence to that family park event. That's terrorism. Boise, Idaho, Idaho prisoner, white supremacist who escaped, Skylar Mead and Nicholas Umphenor, Umphenor, and their names should be known. They should not be obfuscated. This should not be so this is March 21, 2024. This should not be obscure at all. So these kills two police officers. It takes off in a Honda Accord. And this is, by the way, April and March. I just have this huge list. One of them, what does he do? Serves 3 days in jail. Five are convicted and plans to riot at Pride event. That was I don't know when you already discussed. That was July 23, 3 days in jail. I mean, the list just goes on. It's ad nauseum, but these are very recent. And so now
Think about this for a minute. You broaden that scope out across the country. Okay. So you have these here in the United States, you have this so-called red states. All right. And this is just a phenomena that showed up in the last 3 or 4 years. And they're run by these, you know, what I call ultra-right GOP leaders, Republican leaders, and Alabama being, and Louisiana probably being the worst of the two. Well, Idaho's right up there as well, okay? But the idea is that they want to turn these states into white Christian theocracies. It's very obvious that that's what they want to do, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Alabama's, you know, initiating all these draconian laws against women. Texas has put a bounty on pregnant women. And, you know, I watch a lot of other.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Their newscast. Tom Hartman out of Portland, Oregon, is one of my favorites. And I listen to a lot of what he puts out. And one of the things that came up here earlier this week was that Republicans now in certain states are seriously talking about putting ankle monitors on pregnant women. So a woman goes to the doctor like she normally should and to get, prenatal care. And as soon as she shows up, she gets sent to a database. And next thing you know, the feds are showing up at her door, putting an ankle monitor on her, preventing her from leaving her, you know, wherever she lives. I mean, that's, to me, that's authoritarianism. Okay.
Yes.
And this is what the United States is turning into.
Yes. And we can humor it and be, you know, really friendly about it. Yeah. And, or we can really just cut to the chase, like, you know, which you do and which most people do in podcasts. Why is this going on? And this is Jerry Falwell. Oh, this is a quote from a leading Republican. I haven't heard of him before this, but his name's Jerry Falwell. He says, quote, unquote,
I've heard of him for a long time. He's been around a long time.
His quote is, good Christians like slaves and soldiers ask no questions, unquote. So, quote, unquote, good Christians like slaves and soldiers ask no questions. And so they are basically, one of their premises, the main premise, is that this is an infallible word of God. It's in judgment of science. It's in judgment of women's health care. It's in judgment. There's so many reasons why a woman would want to women die in pregnancy. She may, it's not, so I don't even, I can't go into that. So, it's too much, you know, and what this book that I've written, that Final Bible Study by A.M.S. Esquire, which is number 9 in theology on Amazon. It's number 586 in new sellers under religion, more or less, on Amazon. If it hits 100, it's going to be a bestseller. And this book came out in April. It only has 9 reviews. And why? With 2,500 downloads in 4 days. The reason I'm thinking it only has 9 reviews is because a lot of them are probably insults and they get blocked. And so my reports are showing some very good numbers. And so Final Bible Study, Amos Esquire, annotated, 149 pages. So another benefit is that chapter number 11 is a complete summary, every chapter of the Bible with a paragraph or two. So you never need to read the Bible again. You can just open and reference it. Chapter number 13, What is the Bible, is 3 pages long. It will put anyone who reads that book head and shoulders above everybody in my class at Harvard in Christianity, period. And that's 3 pages. And it doesn't go into detail and commentary. It just says this. If you want to know the details, go ahead and look it up.
Sure.
And so this is continuing along a trend of people taking Christianity, making up their own religions, and then blaming it on Jesus. What we currently have is, and this is, you know, the Orthodox Eastern Christian Church is more true to Christianity, in my opinion, and more true to Jesus. They still call him Jesus, Esau, the brother of Jacob, his common name in the Bible. They never, I don't think there's ever a time where they're going to call him Yeshua.
Yeah. Okay.
So another thing is they moved the holidays. So the birthday of Jesus, for example, which is impossible, scientifically impossible to determine, they put it at January 1st instead of December 25th. Whereas a lot of around here, they have some backbone as far as defending Jesus. Whereas here, and this is not global, but we have this fringe element. So in spring, they hunt Fabergé eggs on a lawn and say Jesus and the apostles did this for their salvation. And December 25th, there's going to be a birthday bash for Jesus, you know, with hard liquor and swine. Yeah. It's not something Jesus did. So what they do is they invent their own religion. They blame Jesus, blame the Bible, you know, and this is going on. Now it's going to an absolute extreme. When would Jesus allow people to go on with AR-15s and go and threaten people who believe different than him? I didn't see that. I saw where Peter cut off the ear of a soldier, for example. You know, verse numbers are in there. Jesus movement was violent, and it was a terroristic movement. It was a theocratic terroristic movement, and he did try to become king of Jerusalem and overthrow the Romans, the governor Pilate. And I have verse numbers in there. He did, and I have nothing. I think Jesus was a pious person, but he did try to overthrow and set up a theocracy, and he failed. And he did tell his disciples to sell their shirts and buy swords. He asked them if they have a sword, are you packing heat? And all these verse numbers are in there.
Right.
So there was this, there was an element of violence, but later, after he was pretty much humbled, turned the other cheek, you know, Moses says eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I say, turn the other cheek. He then starts inventing his own religion. So a hot topic today. What is a Jew, for example? So is it the Sephardic side of a family on the maternal side, or is it the descendants of Jacob on the maternal side? What is it? So this is after 3,000 years, 2,000 years, 1,400 years for Islam. A lot of people have defined it. Muslims define it as somebody who's maternally from Jacob without break, somebody who follows the Torah, somebody who follows Moses. So right there, whatever 0.02% of the world population meets this criteria, a lot of them don't even follow the Torah or Moses, and it's difficult to follow the Torah, a law that applies to how to transport yourself on bull oxen and 50 shekels for this and blah blah blah. And so a lot of rabbis who are educated and they're lawyers follow the Gemara or the Mishnah or the oral tradition or the Palestinian Talmud, which now they call Jerusalem Talmud or the Babylonian Talmud, whereas this is more commentary, and that's a more rational approach because you can have a functional legal system. But as far as the Torah, and then further the Torah, it's also that Moses was given inscriptions on a tablet, and it was just enough to put on top of the altar. So it wasn't much.
No.
And this is all verse numbers are in here. So Jesus, people saying King of the Jews, that comes many times because he was from the household of David. But if we take that definition with the three categories, he fails to be a Jew because he is ethnically Jewish, but he changes the law of Moses. He changes the laws of the Torah. He refers to it as leaven, like bread leaven. He uses a lot of symbology. And this is all annotated with verse numbers. Fact check me, please. So in addition to that, Jesus separates himself from the Pharisees very distinctly. He does even resort to cursing them, and those verses are in there. He even says that the Pharisees who oppose him and are trying to crucify him will go to hell. And that's, I have the verse numbers in that also. So he's he's distinguished himself without any room for ambiguity and without any obscurity at all.
Right.
And he's clearly establishing a new religion that is not Judaism. He's also, Paul is saying the gospel must be preached to all nations. So they're removing this whole Jew-Gentile concept, and they're bringing in the Greeks. You know, and all of my claims in here are annotated, and that's the strength for me, Terrence, Terry.
Well, you know, the big thing about Ellis is that those people who literally read the Bible, okay, and, you know, like I said before, I've read it numerous times. You know, when I was real young, it was force-fed to me, so it was literally just, this is this, this is that. So as an adult, of course, I took another look at things and read it like it was like a storybook, and a lot of things became a lot clearer to me. But the big thing is, then I read some of the Quran, and I thought, hey, you know what? There's a lot of similarities here. And then I started realizing that, you know, certain parts of the Quran were basically somebody else rewriting the Old Testament. I'm like, okay. Well, that's interesting. So I started reading some more. Yeah. And that's when I realized that each one of these faiths all are rooted from Abraham and Jacob, and that each one of these prophets took their ideas from the original root and said, all right, you know what? I want to make a change. I want to do this. I want to do that. Now, on the prophet Jesus, when he did his thing, his biggest problem was he was upset with the way the Jews were running things. He didn't like the idea of all his money changing in the temples. He didn't like all the Pharisees telling everybody what to do, because the original faith from Abraham wasn't intended to be like that. Okay. Well, yes, Abraham showed up and said, hey, God has said this land is ours. Go out there and get rid of everybody so we can move in and take over. That was in the Old Testament. And yes, there's no doubt the 12 tribes of Israel went out and did all of that, killed a lot of people and so on and so forth. Well, you know what? The world was a rough time back then. It's just the nature of things. So you look at that, and I'm like, yeah, all right, this is just normal life. But then, you know, when you come to, you know, the time of the prophet Jesus, where he was doing his, and you're right, there's a lot of theories that he may have, because they can't account for a certain period of time when he was in his 20s. So they're thinking that he left the area, went and got educated, whether it was down south with the Buddhists or somewhere else, and he came back with some new outlooks on things and tried to incorporate some of that meditative type stuff into what was already on the ground with the Jewish faith. Well, obviously, that went dead set against anything that the ruling Jews had. So obviously they were going to make this guy go away. So they give him up to the Romans, say, hey, we don't like this guy. He's trying to be the king. We don't want him to be king, yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
You know, discussion.
Yes. I mean, what you said is 100% spot on. If somebody wants to deny that, they can look in the book, and there's annotated verses right to validate what you said. And they can fact check what you just said, fact check what doctorates of divinity, PhD Christians with PhDs in Christianity, Christian history. You know, there's not much PhD work in the Bible, but in Christian history, you know, the different eras, these people are doctorates of divinity, agree with me and agree with the book. And they say, we know these things, but we're shy to talk about them before the public.
Oh, yeah. There's so many people out there that were like, ah.
So what you said is spot on. So what is Abraham saying? Number one, Abraham is neither an Arab nor is he a Jew.
Nope.
He's the father of all of them. And right. What is he saying? Isaiah 45, verse 12. And this is annotated. La ilaha illallah. That there's monotheism, one God. And in the Quran itself, all details aside, is in the first chapter is the seven verses, the Fatiha, the opening, and mm-hmm. the second chapter is the heifer, the cow. Very early on in there, it says that basically those people who believe in one God and do good, they go to heaven. It doesn't distinct between whether they pork or not, or whether they drank or not. That basically the monotheist, so this at the simplest level, you know, that is the Abrahamic faith.
Right.
And that is irrefutable. And I'm not saying that to be Pollyanna. I'm not saying that.
Well, the thing is, it goes through, and what the whole thing is, you go through time. Okay. So here's Moses. And according to the Old Testament and the stories, God comes to him in a burning bush and says, hey, you know, and they have this conversation. So he gets told, go to the mountain. I got some stuff to tell you. So he goes up, brings the tablets down. And what is all his people doing while they're waiting for him to come down the mountain? They made a golden idol and they're worshiping it. Well, first thing Moses tells them all, hey, you guys are wrong. Okay. This is not what God said. And I brought you proof. Here's the tablets. Here's the Ten Commandments. Okay. And, you know, and that's kind of how things went. And you continue reading, and you see how what's the one tribe that God elevated above the others to be the faith keepers, the guardians of the Ark of the Covenant, and all that stuff. Which one of the tribes? I forget the name.
There's
of it.
Different tribes. So there's the Levites as the tribe of Judah.
I think it's the Levites. I think it was the Levites that he elevated above the others. And it's been that way ever since. But the thing was,
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
When all this was going on, these tribes were out there running around doing crazy stuff. So if you read real deep into the Old Testament, there were originally 13 tribes. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, they were so bad. God came and said, you guys were so bad, I'm going to punish you. And he wiped out one whole tribe, just completely obliterated them, and told the other ones, see, I did that. So you need to take heed and you need to start doing what I tell you to, or you're going to go like they did.
Yes.
And it worked for a while.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And, you know, to revisit Sunday school, you know, that all these promises of a Holy Land, these promises, you are the greatest, all these promises, you are the children, you are better to the exclusion to others. These are antiquated. And this right. is in the book with annotated verses. There is a chronology in the Bible, and they're being punished thereafter. And then again, I'll promise you with the most sincere, deepest promises, I will never punish you again. And then boom, once again, they're punished by God right. in a violent way. So they're being taught, from my reading, is that this is a conditional promise that right. if you obey God and you're on the good side, then you have his favor. But if you don't, you know, wham. And
well, it comes it.
And
you go, so you go through the histories again. How many times did God punish these people? Okay. He punished them when the Philistines came in and took them over. He punished them again when the Egyptians came and took them all over. He punished them again when the Babylonians came in and took them all over. And it's been that way throughout their history. And every time they stray from the path, God punishes them. And the last, you know, in recent several hundred years history, God took their land away from them again.
Yes,
okay?
God's
saying
that.
Dispersed them out of the land and scattered them across the world. And so in the 20th century, they saw, oh, we were massively punished by the Germans. Okay, so we repent. God give us our land back. And here we are, 1948. They're all going back to, you know, yeah. Palestine.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm like, okay, I'm thinking to myself, first of all, that God didn't give you that. You took that, all right? You started that in 1898. You got the English on board in 1917 with the Balfour Agreement. And in 1948, you committed genocide. 750,000 people killed or relocated. And just because you say to the world, woe is me, 6 million of us got killed in Europe and all this stuff. You need to feel sorry for us. You need to give us our land back. So the ally said, oh, yeah, we feel sorry for you. We're really sorry that happened to you here. Have whatever you want, especially the English, especially England. Okay. Yeah,
so that was General Allenby that you mentioned in 1924. And then he made a famous statement that the Crusades is now over. And
yeah.
The Crusades, as we know, in 1099 AD, was a worldly exploit. It did not advance the cause of Jesus. It did not nope. advance the cause of monotheism.
It was all about money.
It was a corporate enterprise. It,
yep.
it plundered and brought the plunder back to a starving Western, some parts of Western Europe, which was an agri-military yep. economy. When the paintings, the fresco and whatever that they, the reliefs and that substitutes and reliefs that they have, that we still have to this day, Smithsonian, et cetera, the Louvre, that they're basically wearing stately garb that was like an Ottoman type of garb. You know, they have sure. turbans and everything. It was a total material exploit. It did
Absolutely.
Not help Jesus. They actually you know, attacked the Church of the Holy Spirit.
I always tell people all the time that the Catholic religion, I don't call it Christian. I call it the Catholic religion, okay? Because when that bishop, that Christian, so-called Christian bishop, went to the Roman emperor in 325, said, hey, if you don't pick on us, I'll do this for you. Okay. And it went from there. So at that point, the Roman Empire was failing badly at that point. So they became the Holy Roman Empire after that. And to me, I say the Roman Empire never died. It just morphed into the Catholic Church. Okay? And if you look through history, that's exactly what happened. How many of these popes throughout the first century after the prophet Jesus was killed or disappeared or whatever? I mean, there's some people saying we're not sure what happened to him.
We don't know what happened to him.
Okay. So the thing is, in that first 1,000 years, all these popes declared themselves emperors of Europe. Okay. And they didn't call it Europe back then, but they declared themselves emperors of the Holy Land, which stretched all the way across from East to Western Europe. So how is that not the Roman Empire morphed into the Catholic Church?
Definitely. Now, as far as referring what General Allenby did, and how this was part of the Roman Empire, is that this brings the whole topic home, what you just said, is that this is a political exploit.
Right.
This Holy Land right now, and in the Bible it says there'll be a false Holy Land before the real Holy Land and a false Messiah mm-hmm. before a real Messiah, blah, blah, blah. I'm not even reading into any of that. When COVID happened, I don't want to digress, but when COVID happened and it's Armageddon, the preacher saying, here it is, the end of the world, repent, repent. I bought into the stock market. I bought the dip and I made some good money off of that. And anybody else who did, you know, is now reaping the benefits.
Sure.
For example. And who didn't, you got 2/3 of your 401k wiped out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or you got ripped off by your banker, which probably is the case. But long story short, the predictions of the end of the world, 2014, the end of the world was supposed to end because there's 4 blood moons over Jerusalem, Mark Blitz, 100,000 people follow him. Don't fact check him. Failed. 1924. This is all in the book and this is annotated. Fact check it. So there's literally like 30 recent contemporary predictions that the world will definitively end on this date. Hal Lindsey's not off the hook. So late great Planet Earth, 15 million copies sold. What he does is a logical fallacy. What he's a psychological exploiting people. What he does in his very thin book, on the first half of his book, he uses hindsight and says, okay, don't listen to astrologers. The Bible is more accurate in prophecy than astrologers because look at all these history events that happen and look, there it is right in the Bible. Yeah, but the Bible is most likely written it right before the first century.
Yeah.
So it's all hindsight. So that's basically the equivalent. And then the second half of his book, he's just saying, now, based on that premise that this is reliable, this is what will happen in the future. And it doesn't happen. He says that Russia will attack the Holy Land, maybe today, but that book was written in the 70s. It didn't play out like that. No. Another thing, you know, he just, et cetera, et cetera. I won't go into his. But the thing is that these end of the world predictions fail. And, that the prophecies in the Bible have any merit is the same as an astrologer who'll never predict the next president, but will say, I knew that Bill Clinton would be president because these stars and moons were aligned.
Yeah.
Well, that's not helpful to me.
No.
And so that's also in the Bible, how they predict these things. Another thing is the Bible was scrutinized in the information age with a computer.
Right.
So 5,400 manuscripts of the New Testament, because the Old Testament, I think, is done and over with. You read the book of Genesis right there in page one, contradictions, scientific inaccuracies, this annotating the Bible, that there was daylight before there was a sun in the sky, that there was animal before there was vegetation and water. You go through the genealogies, that the earth is 3,000 to 6,000 years old. I mean, are you going to, I mean, if you want to discriminate, I mean, is NASA going to ask somebody, you know, what's your religion? Because are you going to be a tool for me? Are you, you know, but it's just totally debunked. And
sure.
You can go look. And these, for example, on YouTube, there's this pop culture thing. I stopped watching TV when I was 17, brother. But, you know, I get bled into that stuff. But there's like this whole thing about debate, debate, debate by people who are not theologians.
Right.
Like I said, doctors of divinity agree with me. And everything you said about this, Rabbi Jacob Weiss agrees. They're Torah following. They call themselves Torah following Jews, W-E-I-S-S. And they said these people have hijacked our religion. We're not a political religion. We believe in a Messiah that's going to come from God, that's going to lead us to victory and establish peace on earth. This is, and this really, the fervor really started in the 1970s. Herzl, mm-hmm. in the late 1800s, as you know, approached the Ottoman Sultan, who was controlling the Holy Land at that time, offered him a great sum of money, and the Sultan refused. The sick man of Europe collapsed, and that's when the British made their move, and they sacked the Holy Land. And so it wasn't a religious foundation. It was... No. A political exploit.
Yep.
It's highly profitable. And this, according to Dr. Rabbi Jacob Weiss, he's the expert. I don't need to even research that subject. He's on it. He and his team of rabbis who protest, their position is that as Torah following Jews, Judaism is a peaceful religion. And that's a good stance to take because you can take both stances. Mm-hmm. And the God is going to give us our Messiah. And so what I've done is this is I don't need to spend much time on the Old Testament. I do. I have 13 pages of irreconcilable contradictions.
Right. So, I saw that.
When the contradictions, you know, people, they take two that they like and, you know, reconcile them. That's not what we're talking about. Not at all. We've got where it says in the New Testament, Jesus was crucified in the sixth hour. Right there later, Jesus was crucified in the third hour. Was it 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock? You've got a contradiction. They're not reconcilable. You cannot crucify somebody at two different times of the day. You've got where Jesus says, my last, and this is annotated, fact check me. It says in there that Jesus says, my last words are, God, in my hands, or into your hands, something. And another one, he says the last words were, it is done. Both those verses are there. Cannot have two last words. So, et cetera, et cetera. Was he bearing a cross?
Think about it too. The guys who wrote these books, okay, John, Paul, Timothy, and all these guys, they wrote this stuff long after Jesus was gone.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So we all know how memory can be very fallible. So if you're writing something 10 years after the fact, all right, how are you going to remember every little detail? You aren't. I'm sorry. You're just not going to. All right.
So if I may, so, I mean, we're belaboring the obvious. We preliminarily spoke. You're an expert, as a matter of expert. I think we're just telling the audience.
Here's what I will tell you. I don't have any faith whatsoever in these theological predictions. Because like you pointed out, none of them come true. Okay. Or if they do, it's mostly by accident. Okay. I mean, if I believe in anybody's predictions at this point, it's going to be Nostradamus. He's the only one that's had a bunch of them that have actually come true. And he's got a lot more out there in his book, if you read it, that haven't come to pass yet. And I'm kind of waiting to see how that's going to work out. But was he a theologian? Well, not really. No. Okay. But see, everything goes back to the basic core of everything. Okay. Human greed. Top of the line. All right. Everything starts right there. You go right from, like I said before, Moses coming down off the mountain, and here's all his people down there waiting on him, worshiping a gold idol. Okay. Well, all right. Right away, you've got something not right. They don't have patience to wait. So you track further through history, and you know, you go to
There's a lot more than that.
There's so much more than that. You know?
So this book covers...
So I keep going back to that bishop. The only reason he got involved with the Roman emperor, because he was worried about saving his butt. He didn't care about anybody else. All he cared about was his family and being safe from the Romans. So he made a deal, and that started that. And okay. Then, you know...
Yeah, so I mean,
greed, greed has been the theme of the Christian... You know, since 325, greed has been the theme. And think about when they came to North America. Yeah. So the Puritans show up in Jamestown. They showed up in Plymouth Rock, set up their own communities, proceeded to wipe out the Indians because they were heathens. And, you know, the story goes from there. And the genocide started from there. And it's been that way ever since. So I'm thinking to myself, this, to me, is a very subverted theology. Okay.
So another thing. So that's a lot. So as far as the authority on constitutional law and whether there should be, whether there is a separation of church and state, or whether, you know, that's established.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Andrew Seidel, S-E-I-D-E-L. He wrote the book, Founding Myth. I think Christians aren't supposed to read him because he's atheist, but I encourage you to read him because he's a constitutional lawyer in the United States and he's a subject matter expert. So he pretty much, that book just establishes that there is a very, very thick wall by the it is irrefutable that there's the founding fathers, their quotes, they're again and again, religion is not part of this enterprise. Right. Religion is not part of these founding documents. Religion is not part of, they use words like "in God we trust." These are vague. And they specifically only mention one religion. When they do talk about excommunicating a religion from the United States, the founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, John Quincy Adams, et cetera, and they're quoted, they only mention separate Christianity from the founding documents of the United States, and that is the only religion they mention. So, yeah, so that's a separate topic, a separate book, and it's already been handled masterfully by a constitutional lawyer in the United States. I don't need to touch that topic. It's done. So I want to also touch, you mentioned that the writers, you know, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, with the synoptics, meaning, you know, optics, eyewitness, that they lived, you know, 40 years, 60 years after Jesus is gone. So how is it that they're recording these things? And then the second question is the book of John. So if you argue, there is no debate really anymore. There's only arguments and interpretations and opinions because these are annotated. And usually what it leads to is insulting another religion. But as far as the Bible as a source document, this is complete, that this is not the infallible word of God. This is what being practiced is not the message of Jesus, blah, blah, blah. So most of the evidence for what's being practiced today is coming from the book of John. Now, John, they say, is written by John Zebedee, which is not possible. It's possible if he lived to be about 100 years old when he wrote it, which is very inconceivable for the first century AD. Another thing is Mark, Matthew, and Luke, they copy paste a lot of each other's stories. Yeah. Now, if they lived in different times and they're reporting on they're reporting about the same event, for them to be verbatim is statistically, numerically, empirically improbable.
Right.
So it's equivalent to somebody from North America and somebody from Europe and somebody from New Zealand and somebody from the Middle East in different times and who have never talked to each other and who are not around at Pearl Harbor, describing the events of Pearl Harbor, dictating them exactly in those same words, like almost punctuation mark for punctuation mark. It's empirically mathematical improbability. And this is done by Dr. Bart D. Ehrman, E-H-R-M-A. I'm sure you've heard of him. He's a professor in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So he's established that. So he has some numbers that were plugged. The Bible was plugged into a computer. So there are over 200,000 irreconcilable differences in these 5,400 manuscripts of the New Testament. And John Stuart Mills, who is different than John Mills, another guy, and this is in the book. And again, verse annotated, dates, names, fact check me. So I think it was in the late 1700s. I have my book open. It's just a lot, but he says more or less that he basically, his story is that he gets 100 different manuscripts. He develops something he calls his apparatus to compare the different manuscripts. And he finds like 3,000 irreconcilable differences. Mm-hmm. This is like the late 1800s. So now the computer showed 200,000, but Dr. Bharti Erman is saying that there are more errors between and conflicts between these manuscripts than there are words in the New Testament. Meaning a lot. It's like the neurons of the brain having so many connections.
Right.
So this is the number one. So somebody said, willy-nilly, shooting from the hip, that, it's a miracle. So the synoptics, Mark, Matthew, and Luke are copy-pasting. They're not copy-pasting each other. They're divinely inspired, that it's a miracle. Okay, if it's a miracle, why is it full of contradictions? Why is it scientifically inaccurate? Why does it have errors?
The big thing about all of that is it goes back to power and control and money. Okay? So, you go back to the first 1,000 years, it was all about the Catholic Church because the Protestants hadn't really come along at that point. Martin Luther was pretty much the first breakaway. And look how much trouble he got into. But the big thing was that up until that point, the Catholic Church pretty much owned everything. And they were all about taking everything as well. Okay. And that includes sending troops to Jerusalem to take over the Holy Land in the name of Catholicism and the Christian Church. Get over it. You're just trying to loot the place.
Yeah. So, you played it pretty safe on the podcast. All these things that I'll venture out and take the risk that this is a exploitation of Christians. This is an exploitation of them being well-meaning and wanting to find God. They're being psychologically exploited by their leaders. The Palestinians who are Ishmaelites are being called Amalekites, which was an ethnically cleansed people who were killed off by Joshua. They don't exist. And if we go back to refocus the conversation on Ann Coulter, has got some great quotes, Republican. I want to read some of them in the interest of time. She says, quote unquote, we should invade their countries, kill their leaders, and convert them to Christianity. She says, quote unquote, it would be a much better country if women did not vote. And she's a woman. And she says, she continues, that is simply a fact. In fact, if in every presidential election since 1950, you have the 15th Amendment, which allowed women to vote. Except Goldwater in 64, the Republican would have won if only the men had voted. This is Ann Coulter, quote unquote. She also says, quote unquote, that I know Jesus Christ died for my sins, and that's all I really need to know. She says, quote unquote, is that my only regret with Timothy McVeigh is he did not go to the New York Times building. So this terrorist speech that she gets away with, she's an elected official. Right. So if she was an Arab, if she was a Saudi Arabian male and got on a podium on Fox News and said that Timothy McVeigh should have hit the New York Times building, that person would end up in Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
Okay. Ann Coulter gets, she's a terrorist. She's supporting killing Americans for her political beliefs and her religious beliefs. She's definitively lexically a terrorist. Yeah. And she's getting away with it.
Oh, sure. So, because she's famous.
So they're exploiting Christians that want to be good. They're drawing them in with, we love God. Everybody loves God. The Hindu who worships idols believes in a supreme Bhagwan being. The pagans, I believe, in differently, whatever way, that there is a supreme being. The Buddhist, believes in an energy like a logos. The Muslim believes in a God. The Christian believes in a God. So they're exploiting these vulnerable people. Yeah. And they're basically bringing them in on this very vulnerable point, and then they're just force feeding them this unilaterally force feeding them this misinterpretation of the Bible. So my recommendation to all people, Christians especially, read this book. It's called Final Bible Study by AMS Esquire. And it's number 9 in theology on Amazon. Don't be deceived by the reviews. They're probably hate reviews that get blocked. 2,500 downloads in 4 days.
I don't worry about that. But the big thing I look at is that ultimately, starting from the beginning, it's always been about power control. Somebody in the church decided that I want to control these people. It's good for me. And they come up with all this hogwash. Okay. Yes. The Puritans came to the United States and started their own little thing. And what happened in Plymouth Rock? The Puritans started to get a good hold up there. And John Wesley said, hey, I don't like you guys anymore. And they chased him out of Massachusetts. And he went down to Providence, Rhode Island, started his own Christian church. And that's the way it's been across the United States since they first came ashore. Each somebody says, I don't like what you're doing. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to start my own church. And the government says, oh, yeah, sure. Do whatever you want. Nobody cares. And here we are.
If I can, and this country has evolved, you know, and one of the ways that these people operate is these theological manipulators. Is they try to always bring it back to the second century or 200 BC. Mm-hmm. Well, no, there's a 15th Amendment that allows women to vote. There's a civil rights movement in the 1960s. You know, there's so much this country has evolved into FDR, the four freedoms. One of them is freedom of worship, you know, for different religions, blah, blah, blah.
And I kind of want to wrap this up a little bit because we're getting to the top of the hour.
Yes.
My biggest thing about this is your book is very much a must read. Okay, simply because for anybody out there who's atheist or not a Christian, or they're one of those non-practicing Christians, or they're just tired of hearing all the BS from people like Joel Osteen and Jerry Falwell, pick this book up, read it, okay? Because it will definitely open your eyes. I mean, most of what you had written in this book, I already knew in a lot of ways.
Right, I get that.
Your detail, though, was very eye-opening because, I knew about this stuff, but I didn't know about all of the details that you put in this book. But the big thing is, get everybody out there to read your book. So this show is going to go up on my YouTube channel. It's going to go out through RSS.com, which is an overseas podcast distribution hub. So they distribute it all over the world. Yeah. And there's your book. And it's also going to go out on a radio station, a veterans radio station, military broadcast radio out of Boulder, Colorado next week. So everybody stay tuned. Go read the book and feel free to comment all you want to.
The name of the book, Final Bible Study by AMS Esquire. Get your education, get your empowerment. And chapter 13, just those three pages will put you above my graduating class at Harvard University.
Period. All right. Well, I'm going to cut you loose. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on the show and I wish you luck. I hope you write something else like this and let me know when it comes out.
Thank you, Terry. It's an honor and a pleasure, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right, take care. You,
thank you.
I want to take a minute to tell any veterans out there who may be watching or listening to this show, or a dependent who may be living with a veteran who may be struggling, but they don't want to reach out because of the stigma attached. I will tell you that I have been there, and I struggled for a few years before I was more or less forced into seeking help from a local veterans center. It changed my life. Not before I lost another family, but at least I didn't end up on the street or in jail, which I came close to. Look at the posters I have showing and take down the numbers shown. 988, then press 1. Text 838-255. Or go to veteranscrisisline.net/chat to talk to someone. It's all confidential, and they're open 24/7. Whatever's going on with you, they can help. I know that the counselors I reached out to gave me my life back. Someone here can do the same for you or your loved one. Help with just one phone call, text, or chat away. If someone needs help, don't hesitate any longer. Make the call that could save someone's life.
Thank you for listening to the show today. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll return again next week for another episode of The Village Oak Tree. This is Shaunakee. I hope you will continue to let me come to your village to bring you some news from the outside world that might make you think a wee bit. Please share this podcast with your friends and relations. The more you share, the more we can convince enough people to make the world a better place to live in. As I say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this Irish blessing as you go about your day. May your blessings outnumber the shamrocks that grow. May trouble avoid you wherever you go. Slán go fóill.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.